Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Better Vibes. I am your host, Brad, and in this week's podcast, what are we going to go over? Well, it's always an interesting one, but it's all better things related in aquarium, of course. But this week is a continuation of last week's about tank setup, and we're going to deep dive into feeding and nutrition. Okay, this is always a little bit of a tricky one. But before we deep dive into that and get into the trickiness of all of it, let's have a little bit of a recap and share some exciting news. So as I was talking last week, we were talking about having, as tank setup, larger tanks, and having a variety of fish in there, including bristlenoses. So I have quite a few bristlenoses, 8 or 10. I don't know. I've lost count of count. They've all got names. I've got commons. I've got albinos. And I also have super reds. I've got no long fin varieties just because I don't want to have those long fins with bettas because they can attack each other, unfortunately. More the bettas attacking the long fin bristlenoses, especially when they're smaller because of those fin sizes. But randomly, I was feeding my fish tonight, and this is where my news is coming in. And I started having a look around, having a look through my caves because, you know, I've got a lot of paired couples, basically, paired bristlenoses off there. And what did I happen to find? A lot of babies. I didn't even realise it. Sometimes when you have fish like this, you do get babies because they've got the right environments, they've got caves. I just wasn't expecting it because in that tank that they were in, there was probably, I don't know, I split off some of my 2.5 month fry there from my last spawn, and there was 40 or 50 of the larger fry. Not all the fry grow out at the same size, so keep that in mind if you ever do breed bettas. And yeah, I didn't think that I'd get a spawn, but here we are, and I have a lot of bristlenoses. Amazing, amazing. When you least expect it, stuff happens. That's what happens in the fish world, well and truly. But let's jump into today's episode of Feeding and Nutrition for Better Fish specifically. And we'll go over, you know, some of the things that I like to do, what I do, and what I've seen out there, and let's have a look at what is a good amount of food to feed, what kind of food, and of course, what not to feed. Okay, that's a big one, all right? Not big in size, but, you know, there is some old stuff out there that a lot of people still use and I don't agree with, okay? It's never seemed to have worked. Maybe. Not for me. I've never tried it. I would never. But anyway, let's go with how to feed and how often. Okay. So you can feed small pellets, sinking or floating. Floating's generally better, or a slow sinking, because you got to think of what these guys eat naturally. These guys are basically insect predators. They're insectivores, technically, okay? So what does an insectivore encapsulate? Well, and what does it really mean at the end of the day? They eat insects off the top of the water to start off with. More importantly, they eat insects out of the water. So in those larvae stages and those stages before they grow out and become winged animals in some cases, including mosquito larvae, dragonfly larvae, and anything else that actually grows out in the water, okay? They will also eat snails. My guys love to eat snails. I've got a couple there. As I mentioned, Pixel last week, he was proud as punch with the snail insides wrapped around his head. I thought he was dying or something. They love to scare you like this, all right? Get it out there. But whatever food you feed, including flakes, okay? All right. Now, what kind of food? I forgot to cover flakes. I'm sorry, guys. Flakes are also acceptable food. I feed a lot of my fish flakes. I personally Love a couple of brands here in Australia. My latest and greatest that I'm feeding is Aquamunch, great Queensland company. I am not sponsored by these guys whatsoever. I have no affiliation with anyone whatsoever. So this is all just personal opinion and recommendations. I love their food. They are one of the few companies who still are actually making gel foods, which is amazing as well. And gel foods are okay. If done correctly, there is a correct way for them, but we'll go into that a bit further. But with Aquamunch, for instance, one of my main feeding one is their baby brine shrimp flake. It's a great high protein, not super high on fat, and it's got a good balance of everything in there. Another reason why I like Aquamunch is because of the ingredients they put in there. They don't use really terrible fillers. Plus, they are using proper insects in there, or and things like that. Like their baby brine shrimp flake is the exception, that they are using a marine animal. But at the same time, we all, as breeders, use baby brine shrimp hatcheries to feed our fry, okay? So this is part of the aquarium way of feeding fish, and we'll jump into fry feeding a little bit later. But that is my favourite at the moment. They also have some Nature and Grow. They have bloodworm mix and a whole heap of different stuff. And it's all amazing stuff, really well, high quality main foods. I love also the Dymax sinking pellets, really good. And it doesn't matter which food you get. Just get a high quality food, okay? It's going to last you a while. When I say a while, it's going to last you at least a month, if not two, maybe sometimes 3 months for a very small container. Don't go buying massive containers of food. Big important thing in my mind, food does go off. Even though it's dehydrated or dried out or whatever it is, it will go off, okay? That's another reason why I like the Dymax. They come in a completely sealed container. It's got a little ring pull, like a can, essentially. So it is perfectly sealed and well looked after in that way. And they do come with a moisture absorber in them as well. So keep that in mind. Great food. Now, how much do we feed our betta fish? The rule of thumb is, and the way that I always got taught, which I don't really agree with, is feed them the amount of food for their eye. Now, if that was the case, that would be one pellet for most of them, one very small pellet, or not even a pinch of food, right? Like, it's too small. What they can eat in 1 to 2 minutes, if you're feeding twice a day, what they can feed in 1 to 2 minutes. If it is once a day, what they can eat in 1 to 2 minutes. The biggest thing we've got to remember is that overfeeding fish will cause issues. One of the main issues is dropsy or bloat, and that's something that we will go into and understanding some of the diseases that we can have. This is really probably a five, maybe a six-part series on this stuff, okay? So this is how we set up our tank, how we feed our first fish, okay? And it doesn't matter which or what fish you have, that is the rule, full stop, okay? Doesn't matter what it is, with one exception, and that is bristlenoses and plecos, okay? So keep that in mind, that bristlenoses and plecos, because they're algae eaters, it's a little bit different, all right? And I think from working in the aquarium industry, the best way that I was able to get it across of how much we're feeding them and what we're feeding our fish is the fish food that we provide is dessert, okay? So we don't have massive amounts of dessert or sweets or whatever you want to call it, because that is not the good part of our diet overall, when it comes to humans. When it comes to the fish, we're just trying to bolster them and make sure that they are getting enough, because there is a whole heap of microorganisms once your fish tank gets up and established that live within the tank. If you put wood in there, for instance, there will be little microscopic animals that live in the tank as well. I say animals, they're probably not animals technically, but infusoria, planaria, there's a daphnia, there's a plethora of these little things that live in there, and they will feed off those during the day. Any sort of live plant will also help with the growth of these animals, or microscopic organisms that are in there as well. So it's not the main part of their diet to feed them. It is literally just dessert, guys, okay? And that's probably one of the biggest things that I need you to go, need everybody to understand, is that no matter what you're feeding them, it is not their main course, okay? It is literally the last portion of everything, okay? All right, so what else can we look at doing to help our fish, okay? So we've got our daily portions that we feed them, their dessert, but eating the same thing would get pretty boring for us, right? So we want to mix it up every now and again, okay? And what I really love to feed are frozen foods, very small portion of frozen foods, still the same rule, what they can eat in 1 to 2 minutes, always. And only with frozen foods, once, maybe twice a week. You do not want to be feeding them every day on frozen foods. It's not a balanced diet for them. It's not going to give them everything they need. What kind of frozen foods are we going to look at? The first one we're going to look at is bloodworms, or blackworms. Blackworms are even better than what bloodworms are, but bloodworms are a very common frozen food that you can get hold of. For one fish, you would be looking at, for most of the frozen foods you get, they come in a cube. You would probably want to split that into four sections. Just get a small container, add a bit of fish water to there, and also then add your bloodworms in there. And if you have a pair of tweezers, you can put them out one at a time, teach your fish to eat them from the tweezers themselves. And if you really get excited, you can teach them to jump out of the water to get the bloodworms as well. Another amazing food is daphnia. Now, daphnia is amazing, and also frozen baby brine shrimp. Same thing, except for with the cubes. Once again, only a quarter of a cube at most, and I'd be defrosting it, and also using a syringe to add it in very slowly so that it's not going to foul the water up because the fish can't get to it in time and it sinks onto the bottom and they have to retrieve it. So you just want to add in little bit by little bit. All right, so before I go into anything else, I will talk about one bad thing that I always hear and I keep seeing on social media, and I want to make sure everybody knows. Don't feed peas. Shelled peas, husk peas, whatever it is. Peas are not part of any fish's diet. It might work with goldfish or koi. It does not work with bloat and diseases for bettas. Peas are for humans, right? They are not for bettas. When it comes to getting rid of blockages, when we've got issues, daphnia is your go-to food, okay? This is the hot tip of the week, and we'll come into, and I'll reiterate this in an episode further on when we go over common diseases and stuff, okay? But this is the best thing for them, daphnia, okay? And if that doesn't work, we've got some more things that we need to look at a lot harder. Overfeeding is massive, okay? We don't want to put a big pinch in there. We don't want to put half the container. These are big issues if you do. I love to have snails in my tank because I have my 11-year-old son. He helps out with me around the aquarium. here and through all the fish room, and I also have my wife and my other two sons, and they feed my fish as well. When I have other commitments and things like that, they help out. Now, why do I want to have snails in my tank? Snails are the best indicator of overfeeding. If you see huge population spikes in snails, you're overfeeding. Okay? If you see food accumulating on the bottom of your tank and your bedder is not eating it, you're overfeeding. If we see that our fish are getting really fat, you're overfeeding. Cut them back to 30 seconds if you have to. 30 seconds worth of food. As I said, it's dessert. It's not main course. All right? They have small stomachs. And yes, technically their stomach is about the size of their eye. But we don't want to feed them an eye's worth of food. Okay? And another thing that I always do as well, and something that is readily suggested out there in the market for everything, is always, I try to at least once a week, once a week, if not at least once a fortnight, all right, I will fast my fish for one day. I will not feed them. This will not hurt them. The fish can live off everything in the tank for up to, and sometimes more than, 7 days, okay? This will not hurt them. It's more about keeping everything in check and control with them and making sure that we're not overfeeding, making sure that they rely on their hunting instincts, and that's where great things like frozen foods come in, okay? Another thing you can do as well, if you do have it, I always do it every summer, especially for great live foods, is of course, if you have fry, you can feed them baby brine shrimp. If you're feeding baby brine shrimp to anything else, they will love to have a go at baby brine shrimp. It activates their natural instincts of hunting, and they will track them down and get them, which is just amazing because it's exercise at the same time, right? Another thing that my fish absolutely love, and this is everything from my platies, every fish that I have apart from, you know, just my straight algae eaters. And what I do every summer, as I mentioned before, is I actually kind of culture up mosquito larvae. Now, please be careful. Don't let your mosquito larvae go into full form because you will be swarmed by mosquitoes, okay? But just having a stagnant bucket of water if you need to, and you can go out there every day, every couple of days, get a small scoop, enough for them to eat in 2 minutes again, and make sure you rinse them off. We don't know what else is out there. Make sure you rinse them off and give them live mosquito larvae. They love to chase and hunt them down, and they will clean them up so quick, and you will be loving their way that they hunt and find food, and they are quite aggressive little guys when it comes to that sort of stuff, okay? This is actually going to be one of our shorter podcast episodes at the moment, which is amazing for you guys, which is great. I hope this helps you guys out. And if you have any questions, make sure you drop us a line. All the social medias, you know where to find me. If not, drop us a line on the website as well, bettervibes.blog. And yeah, it's a healthy part of their diet. Remember, food is dessert, 1 to 2 minutes worth of food, maximum per day, once to twice a day. Once a week, feed them some frozen food or live foods. If you can get the live foods, even better, including live blackworms as well. They love them. Just remember, portion size, small. They have to be able to eat it. They do have some very small teeth in there, but it might not get through. And fast, once a week, once a fortnight, if you can, okay? It's not going to hurt them. Healthy diet equals brighter colours and longer lifespan. Bettors are not meant to last for 3 to 6 months. in our captivity, they can last up to 5 years. They are a beautiful fish. Let's look after our friends. I'm your host, Brad. Thanks for tuning in this week. I hope to hear something from you. Keep an eye on our socials. Let's keep having those good vibes roll.